Good to see everybody here this evening. We want to address very quickly in the next 7 or 10 minutes at most. The idea of making myself better makes Ninth and Main better. You know, when you stop and think about that concept, it's almost self-evident, isn't it? If I get better, then it's going to help the whole congregation get better. But I think it's important that we ask the question, how do I make myself better? How do I make myself better so that I help the whole congregation get better? In fact, you look at this whole concept, go back to Romans chapter 12. So I want to do just three things, and there are many more ways that we could talk about tonight about how I make myself better. But the first one I want to think about is studying and growing in knowledge. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul would write to this young gospel preacher, "Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling correctly the word of truth." And the idea of that word study, in fact, you find in the American Standard Version of 1901, as well as the New King James rendering there, it gives the idea of giving diligence. Be diligent. That's the idea behind that word study. We need to be diligent in our studies. Now, how do we know that the word study works well? Well, just continue on with that particular verse and notice what it says. Handling correctly, handling aright the word of truth. You can't handle the word of God properly without studying, without knowing what God has to say. But I want you to think about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 as well. We are told there by the Apostle Peter to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that responsibility to continue day by day to grow as Christians. When I grow, then it helps me to help others grow. Then think about this too. And second point, how do I make myself better? By learning humility. James chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us to humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. See, it's not about me lifting myself up. It's not about me looking at self in some sort of a self-righteous way or an arrogant way and thinking somehow that I am going to be a great benefit to everybody else. It's about God lifting me up. How do I know that? 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. Let God be the one to exalt us. But let's go over to another passage, one that I love to death. I just love the book of Philippians. But Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 1. Let's just go ahead and pick it up where it begins. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, now listen to this, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Does that remind you of anything? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 and verse 10? And even go over to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, the idea of what? Imitate me, Paul would write, even as I imitate Christ. And we'll talk more about that one here in just a moment. But notice what he goes on to say. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. See, when I have that mindset of humility, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at everybody here, and I'm going to look at you as being better than even myself. Now, that doesn't mean I have to ignore myself. Because even Paul mentions that now as we look at verse 4. He says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Now, how does all this tie together? Look at verse 5. Because we're still in the same context. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? a mind of humility. It's this idea of being one who doesn't exalt himself, who doesn't put himself above others. I am going to help you to become better when I practice true biblical humility. And you know what? When you practice true biblical humility, it's going to make me better. It's a reciprocal type of thing. And then notice what he goes on to say, who being in the form of God, talking about Christ Jesus, in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. That is a thing to be grasped and held on to tenaciously. I always think about it like that from the standpoint of, you know, you think about a bulldog that latches onto something. They don't want to let go. They're hard to pry their jaws open. Well, you know what? That's the kind of the mentality. Jesus, or Paul says here, that Jesus did not consider it a thing to be grasped and held on to at any price to be equal with God. But rather, what did he do? He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man. Now listen to this. He humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself? Yeah. Stop and think about that. He is the only begotten Son of God, John 3, verse 16. The only begotten Son of God. And he recognized the importance of humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, now notice what Paul writes here to the church at Philippi. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. When I have that proper mindset of humility, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be helping everybody here just like you'll be helping me. When you do, we make Ninth and Main better when we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we learn to possess the mind of Christ by following his perfect example of humility. Number three and final point. How do I make myself better? And like I said, there are multiple other things we could go, different directions we could go. I'm just sticking with three. How do I make myself better? By imitating every aspect of Jesus' life. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul would write there, imitate me even as I also imitate Christ, or be followers of me even as I also follow Christ, depending on your translation that you're reading from. Now, we've already discussed Jesus' humility, so we won't go over that again. But notice something here. Jesus also submitted his will to the Father. How do you know that? Well, how about John chapter 6 and verse 38? Jesus' own word said, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus subjected himself to the will of the Father. There is that role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he understood that. But then our third and final kind of sub-point here, Jesus often went to his Father in prayer. Do we do that enough? I'm going to suggest to you, and I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes I can honestly have to admit, I don't do that enough. I need to do a better job of that. But Jesus even taught his disciples how to pray. They came to him and asked him, how do we pray? How do we do this? We see in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13, again in Luke 11, 1 through 4, that he tells them how to pray. Now this is sometimes referred to as the model prayer. He's not saying these are the exact words you have to use, but here's kind of the parameters that you work within. But Jesus set the perfect example in praying to the Father. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we want, what we think, and all this kind of stuff. And here recently we've had a number of people who have maintained that you can pray to Jesus. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. But isn't that interesting? that Jesus, the one who never sinned, never fell short of the glory of God in any shape, form, or fashion, always prayed to the Father. How do you know that? Well, first of all, he prayed that the Father had revealed his will. He was thankful to that. Father, I thank you for that. Matthew 11:25, Luke 10:21. Think about before he raised Lazarus from the dead, and we talked about that a little bit in class this evening. Before he did that, he prayed to the Father and then said, Lazarus, come forth. John 12:28. Jesus prayed, Father, glorify your name. He understood the value of glorifying the Father's name. And in the longest prayer recorded for us, the longest prayer of Jesus is actually recorded for us, not once, twice, three times, or four times, but five times in that prayer, Jesus said, Father, or O Father. John 17:1, 5, 11, 11, 21, 24, and 25. I think he understood something. He prayed to the Father. And think about when he was at Gethsemane. Oh man, you talk about a heart-wrenching time. And you know what he did? He petitioned his Father in heaven. Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He did not want to go through that physical part of him, did not want to go through that horrible crucifixion. He did not want to have to bear the sins of humanity on his shoulder. And he approached his Father in prayer, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And finally, on the cross, Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. What a heart, what a mindset. He didn't address himself and he didn't address the Holy Spirit. He went to the Father who has all authority, even Christ being subject to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:24. We make ourselves better and we make the whole congregation better by looking at just these three types of things. Go home and think about some other ways that we can make ourselves better and consequently make the whole congregation better, make the whole better. I remember many years ago, I was in a class setting, and the lesson will be yours. I was in a class setting, and I was teaching the class, and a good brother in Christ made the simple comment that it takes the whole congregation to make a congregation whole. I want you to wrestle with that one a little bit. It takes the whole congregation to make a congregation whole. Well, you know what? It takes me doing my part to help you be better, and it takes you doing your part being better to help me be better. The invitation plea is available to any and all who strive to be what God would have them to be. If you've never been obedient to the gospel call, and yet you know what you need to do to be saved, you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you have that mindset, that heart, that you're ready to repent of your sins. That means you turn away from a life of sin and toward a life of godliness. And you're ready to confess the name of Christ before men, Romans 10:10, then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins forgiven, Acts 2:38, to have them washed away, Acts 22:16. Maybe it is a case that you're a child of God and you've kind of strayed away. You've lost track of where you're supposed to be as a Christian, and you need to come back to Him. Can you think of a better time than right now to make that decision? If you need to respond to the invitation plea, won't you do that right now as we stand and sing this song?